for everybody at the table. Thank you, Father, for the potatoes. Thank you, Father, for the meat. Thank you, Father, for the drinks. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you for the spoons. Thank you for the napkins. Thank you for the fork. Thank you for the knife. Thank you for the... And it went on. Everything she could see. Kind of humorous. But you see, it dawned on those of us sitting around the table that 50% of the people in the world didn't have meat and taters and spoons and forks and knives. 50% of the people didn't have them. So be very careful about what you think and what you say when things happen. Because we've been very blessed in this country. No matter what your situation, no matter where you are, you're still God's child. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for each and every day that you give us. We want to thank you for the many, many blessings that you've given us over the past years. And Heavenly Father, we see some evil occurring in this world, and we become a little concerned and stressed and upset because we don't know what's coming. You know, but we don't, and we're concerned. It's really easy, Father, for us to become distressed and very upset because people do things that we know to be improper and not right. We know, Father, that every day is a day that you have made. And Father, let us understand, no matter what happens, that we rejoice in that day and be glad in it. And we thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives. We have been so blessed in this country and in this church. So pray, Father, for all the members of this congregation. Pray for this community. Pray for this country. Pray for the leaders in this country. And pray, Father, that you intervene where it's necessary because we can't do what you would do. We pray these things, that you would give us the wisdom and the guidance, no matter where we are, to share the gospel message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to ask y'all, have you been persecuted for your faith? Have you? Most of us haven't. Have you been persecuted for your beliefs? Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Persecuted for your beliefs. I was on the elder board in the church in Dallas, big church in Dallas, 1,500, 2,000 members in the big church. Elder board decided they didn't like the fact that Ray North shared something that happened in the elder board meeting, and so they took him to trial, set me up in the corner over here, and asked me questions when I was deathly sick with pneumonia. It's all just because I shared one little thing that happened in the elder board, and I kept saying, you know, God knows all about it, so what difference is it? Finally, all the pastors said, I've never heard Ray Nor say anything that was improper, and so they dropped it. Yeah, sure, we've been persecuted for our beliefs, and we have people that we know that have been persecuted for our beliefs. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Oh yeah, that's what we would like to do. That's really where we would like to be. But John 15 says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Have you been persecuted yet? Steve told me he had a little adjustment and a driving situation over the weekend and was a little upset and concerned about it. And I told him I was going to tell a story about something very similar to what happened to him, I guess. Jackie was married and to a ne'er-do-well guy, and she finally just gave him walking papers, and she kept the little boy, Bill. Bill was in and out of juvenile court from day one almost. He got in trouble before he was 2 years old, probably, the way she talks. She devoted her entire life to developing and taking care of that boy. Devoted all of her money and everything she had, had a room, kept an old car. She worked hours and hours and hours and wasn't really a well-educated woman, so she had to do a lot of grunt work. Bill was 17 years of age and been in and out of juvenile court and going to graduate from high school. So she decided that the money she had saved for his college, because he was going into the military, she could spend on a brand new car. It was a red car, Ford, two-door, Mustang, I think, if I recall correctly. And on graduation evening, Bill just asked her if he could take the car out on a date. He'd not driven it. He'd been on drugs, and she kind of got him off of that. So, and he'd been good for last year or such a matter, and so she reluctantly agreed, but she said, you bring it back to me in the same condition it was. He told the police officers, that pole just jumped right out in front of me. That's a lie. But he has to say that, you see, because to admit that he was drinking and on alcohol and on drugs and driving, he would have to admit a crime. The good news is that Bill is now a drug counselor for other kids that have been doing the same thing. That lie is kind of a lie that comes about because of the circumstances, and we all kind of do it when we get in trouble. We try to defend ourselves. But the governor of Georgia, he can't admit that there's something going wrong because, see, that would be a crime, and it not only would be a crime, it would be an intentional crime. One that he intended to do wouldn't be unintentional like Bill's. What we have now is a situation in this country that is suggesting all sorts of problems. We've got a new president coming in. We don't know what's going to happen there. The courts have abandoned the president. Vice President Pence didn't do what he could have done. He could have, you see, just said there were two ballots from four states, five states. He could have said, send them back to the states, because the state legislature has to be the one that decides, not the governor. That would have been constitutional, and Vice President Pence could have done that. He chose not to. He chose to stand on Amendment 12, which said you will count the votes, but you're supposed to count the the legal votes. And we get through the internet, and I have no way of knowing whether this is true or not, but I've got emails that are represented to be emails between Paul Ryan and Pence in 2016 trying to get rid of President Trump. What we don't know is what's going on behind the scenes in this country. We have absolutely no idea because people are greedy. They seek power. They seek control. They seek control of us. And they'll lie about it to get it. Intentional lies. The courts have abandoned the Constitution. Just so you know, when they say they don't have standing, that the state of Texas doesn't have standing, that's a scheme that was designed by the justices in the Supreme Court to deny a case where they didn't want to take it. Yes. I'm going there, but okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Standing is that you were somehow involved in it. And the Constitution says if you file a suit against another state, you got standing. The Constitution says that. And so the courts have abandoned the president. The courts have abandoned the president. And it's interesting that the courts find a lack of standing when it's fraud and a constitutional question, but they find standing when it's marriage. They find standing when it's abortion. They find standing when it's gender. They find standing when it's a change of gender. They find standing for all of that. They can rewrite the law that Obama passed. They can find standing to change the rules of the court to rewrite Obamacare, but they can't find standing. So when you look at it, when you look at what's going on here, the entire government of the U.S. is all united. The FBI has failed. The IRS defaulted a long time ago. The Attorney General defaulted. The bureaucracy has defaulted. The Post Office has even objected and taken, you know, their union has voted against President Trump. And we got a government coming in that is now trying to say that you can't use mother and father in your discussions anymore, and children. So one of my daughter's friends said, well, this is a baby announcement under the new rules. A no woman had a no child by a no doctor. That's what we're going to have. Ridiculous. And there are fears that there will be persecution. Have you been persecuted for your faith yet? Well, that's what they're trying to get you to say. Not many of us have been put in jail for our politics. Let's look at the history of persecution. Christ was crucified, beaten severely, and crucified. The apostles all faced death. And I want to turn now to Luke 21 and 12 through 17. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up. This is Christ speaking to the disciples. They shall persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, and being brought before the kings, rulers, and for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. And I want you to take a special attention here at verse 14. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to mediate before ye shall answer. Not to meditate before you shall answer. I want you to understand that Christ is telling them, settle it now. Settle it today before you're persecuted. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsmen, and they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated for all for my name's sake. So Christ is telling them to settle it ahead of time. Decide what you're going to do when you are persecuted ahead of time. The Roman Christians in the catacombs. The Roman Christians, as Dr. Carl mentioned last time, or a lesson or so ago, how they were persecuted from the get-go by the Romans. So, early American settlers, they came here because they were persecuted in their countries. They sought religious freedom. And they wrote it into the Constitution. Germany. Bonhoeffer stood his ground, but other people let it go. Just rode with the tide. Didn't stand in the gap, didn't stand up, let it go. The guards, when Bonhoeffer was hung, said, I never saw anybody more happy to die. Because you see, Bonhoeffer knew that if he stood up and he was caught, and he did try to kill Hitler, he was in on the bomb. If it hadn't been for one of the lieutenant's briefcase, it might have actually done the job. And Bonhoeffer might have gone free, but it didn't. Bonhoeffer was hung, along with the other four or five people that did it. But he understood, you see, that you have a choice. You can stand in the gap, you can stand up for what's right, and if you do, and the government doesn't like it, that may be your life. So the Germans that we see pictures of in the movies about the German war, they're all herded into these railroad cars. I tell you what, I think if they were walking me to the hangman's noose, I think I would run and let them shoot me good, right? Quick. But that's a choice, you see. Christ told the disciples to make now. Russia and China, and that's where we get into this insanity of God. This is a book by Nick Ripken. And the first half of it's kind of boring and discouraging because he spends a lot of time in a country trying to help the country to be a preacher and a minister there, and he's so controlled that he can't even make an effort to share the gospel message. He's just helping them medically, and it's very discouraging. Discouraged him so much that he gave up his faith. And then he went back to Russia, and he started in Russia and, under a grant that he had and a task that he had, to try to find out how the church in Russia was growing when the pastors were put in prison. And then the next part of it, he went to China and he went to some other countries and actually interviewed the Christians. And the Christians in China, you see, are persecuted. And the pastors that he interviewed led him to believe that it was a badge of courage to have been imprisoned for 3 years. It meant you'd been doing something. Have you been persecuted yet? In fact, the people in China that are working for those Christian organizations that are underground and behind the scenes have created a great big farm, and they've done some things that are just absolutely amazing that they're doing it undercover and behind the scenes. People, as I'm going through preparing for this, I talk to people about it, and it's amazing how God, and this is God, I didn't do this, my wife did. Underline this verse in this book. It's not a verse, it's just a statement. Don't ever give up in freedom what we would never have given up in persecution. That is our witness to our power of the resurrection of Christ. So don't you, in the United States, you see, forget to teach the gospel message. The birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ. Don't forget to teach that. Don't forget to tell it. Because, you see, the only way the church exists in China is if we do that. And serve our time in prison. You need to read the book because it'll be enlightening to you. The pastor in prison, and Ruth had to correct me a little bit about the story, but the pastor in prison was in the prison for 17 years, singing the same song every morning. He was criticized by all the people for singing that song, but every morning he sang that song, every morning he sang that song. 17 years later, they were taking him to execute him. All the prisoners in the jail sang that song. And they let him go. So how are they doing it? What do you do if you're in prison? Well, what they say is they pray. Amazing. Read the Bible if they have it. If not, they rewrite it in their mind. And if not, they sing songs. And if not, they write songs. And if not, they fellowship with whoever they can fellowship with. And if not, they keep track of the time. If not, they experience when they can come and go. They meditate on God. They sing or they pray some more. So, have you been imprisoned for your faith yet? Would you say, yes, you have seen it up close yet? You see, in China, what they do is they imprison you. In Russia, what they do is imprison you. And whether you know it or not, while Obama was president, Ruth and I drove by two former Walmarts and one prison or one military base where the wires, the fences had been put up with the wires in. Set up for your imprisonment. Have you been imprisoned yet? Have you seen up close what it's like? But you see, they're not going to do it that way this time around. They figured out a smarter way to imprison you, and you have already been there. Whether you like it or not, you have been quarantined. And look at the blessing it is for the government. You see, in China, they pay for your food, they pay for your prison, they pay for your prison guards, and they have put you in your homes, and you pay for the food, and you do the dirty work. There are people in Dallas, my friends, who used to be good, strong Republicans, but they have bought the lies. They have not been out of their homes since March except to go to the doctor and to go and buy food and toilet paper. They have been imprisoned for their faith. And see, the neat thing about this is our government doesn't even say it's faith. They say it's for your health. And it's coming. All these new ideas to persecute, it's coming. You see, if you can't travel and get within 6 feet of people, then you're probably not going to go. So they're controlling the size of the assembly. That's not your faith. That's your health. It's necessary to close down businesses. That's not your faith. That's your health. It's necessary that businesses change the way they're doing things. That's not faith, you see. That's your business. That's your health again. Ingenious. Ingenious. And then the things that are coming are shortages. Okay, so we get you locked up at home and then we deprive you of toilet paper. And that sounds like nothing, but that's, you see, that's not your faith. That's supply and demand, and we can't, you see, shut down these businesses and also supply all these things you need. So that's really not your faith. That's just shortages. Shut down communication. Oh, they're not doing that, are they? Oh, they're not doing that. See, that's not your faith. That's because this guy's evil. That's because you're evil. That's because somebody else is evil. And let me tell you, just the beginning. Just the beginning. So I'm not trying to frighten anybody here. What I really want to do is I want to go to what in the world do we do about it? This is just a really interesting situation we're in. Worldometer, which is a news reporting organization, reports that in the last year, 2020, there were 42 million abortions in the world. 42 million abortions in the world. That's not your faith. You see, that's our health. COVID deaths worldwide was 1.8 million, and there's doubt about whether or not a lot of those were really actually COVID deaths. So we can lie about anything, and as long as you and I buy into it, they've got you in prison. They've got you locked up. And they don't even have to get a guard, and they don't have to have a prison, and they don't have to feed you. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So what do we do? So what do we do? Well, I want to look first at John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you, and they're doing it. And Peter 4:1 says, and I want you to see this and see how it fits right back with the Christ's word to the apostles. For then as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. Likewise, with the same mind. Boy Scouts had a motto, be prepared. And I think that's what God and what Christ is saying to you, be prepared. Be prepared for what comes. I have a note here that Ruth and I had a little discussion about the other day. He's talking about the armor of God. He's not talking about saving your life. He's talking about winning the battle spiritually. He's not saying you won't be crucified. He's not saying you won't be killed. He's not saying you won't be harmed. He's talking about the armor of God because you're to protect yourselves. You're to stand up for Christ no matter what. And I have a vivid picture of those guys in those orange uniforms and they're getting ready to chop their heads off. I didn't see any of them. What I would have done is run and let them shoot me, but I didn't see any of them flinching. We watched a movie the other night and it was a movie about World War II. These nurses and nuns were caught on an island by the Japanese, and they are kind of vicious in the way they treated women particularly. And they lined the machine gun up and lined the women up there and got ready to shoot them when the priest came out of the church and talked to them. And suggested that he was a Nazi. And these were Nazis. And they were on his side. A little lie. Because he really wasn't a Nazi. And they figured that out after Germany gave up in the war. And he was still trying to protect those nurses. But when the nurses lined up to be shot, they didn't have any expression on their face at all. No manifestation of fear. No suggestion of ducking and running like I would do, probably. That's what God's telling us. Be prepared. So, not good news, is it? Oh, yes, it is. God is still God. God is still God. We have to accept His plan. If He's got me there in prison, that's probably where He wants me to suffer the persecution. If He's got me in locked up in the home, He's got me where He wants me. In or out of jail, we're laymen. I'm not a professional pastor or a professional Christian theological teacher. I'm just sharing with you a little bit of what my 85 years has taught me, and a little bit about what I can read and what I can get from other people giving me good tidbits that I can put in here. What God really puts in front of me. But wherever we are the laymen, and we're the ones that are be sharing the gospel message. Wherever that is, with whoever that is. And so that man singing that song over and over and over again, he touched those people in the prison. Saved his life. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, I want to share with you some tidbits here. A few things that I suggest you program into your thinking. Whatever the situation is, stay calm. God tells you not to stress or worry about it, but stay calm. If you're nervous or jittery, it'll show, and if you get all excited and upset and talk and speak and let fly words and stuff, you won't think it through and you will not make good decisions. The second thing is pray specifically, whatever the situation is. Pray and pray specifically for what you need. I need help. I need water. I need my sanity, Father. I need whatever it is, whatever the circumstances are. Then you have to take time. And you see, whatever situation you're in, you need to find out what the facts are. And by putting you in your home prison, why, and cutting off the news and the media and everything, what they do is they cut off your sources of information. We got the emails that Rand Paul and David Pence were colluding to try to get rid of Trump before he was even elected the first time. Whether those emails were true or not, I have no way of knowing. And whether the other side and what they say, I have no way of knowing unless I have the actual facts themselves or actual emails, what have you. All that can be trumped up. And that's what the news media does. They repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And if you hear that I'm a dumb cough long enough, you'll believe you're a dumb cough. So you need to ascertain what really the facts are. Hard to do when you don't have much information. And you need to ascertain what your options are. Do you have an option to run? Do you have an option to sit? Do you have an option to get toilet paper? Do you need to evaluate what the circumstances are? And you know all of this, then you need to pray for wisdom and guidance. Go back to God again. Seek His intervention. Ask for His intervention. Pray for wisdom and guidance. Then, the way things are going now with this imprisonment in the home, self-imprisonment, we have some options here that we ought to take advantage of. We need to seek allies. You know, if they do what they talk about and get rid of gas and oil so your cars don't run, and if they're successful in doing that, maybe John and Jean's electric car will go a little ways, but if they get rid of gas and oil, we may not be going very far. We may wish we had a bicycle or a horse. So it makes sense, you see, to get to know your neighbor. Uh-oh. Oh, do we share the gospel message with the neighbor? Oh, but, you know, they party. Those people across the street from us cuss. They cuss out their children. How could we share the gospel with them? What if they are? What if they are? You see, we need to share the gospel message. And we need to find that out because we may need them. This morning, our neighbor had the ambulance there. If they cut out our communication system, how do we get the ambulance there? It might be nice to have a friend next door. So we need to seek allies and friends and people to be with us. And it's what God wanted us to do all along. He wanted us to go next door. He wanted us to do that. So is God forcing us to do what He wanted us to do from the very beginning? To go to our neighbors and teach them about Christ? The best action sometimes may be no action at all. Not doing anything. If I were really old, I ought not to be saying what I'm saying. Because I put this on CD and send it to my grandkids. My grandkids know some people that are Democrats. And all of a sudden, I'm a target. So perhaps no action ought to be the best action to take. If you're in isolation, then you need to keep your mind active. Sing, recite, read, create. There's a story in Insanity here of Christ about one of the men that wrote 700 songs. Oh, he didn't write them down on paper, you see, because he didn't have paper. He didn't have a pencil. He wrote them out in his mind and memorized them. They're songs that they sing in the Christian churches in China now. And China's Christian population is 10 million. Christians in a country that prohibits the Christian faith. Number 9, keep a sense of humor. There's nothing better when you're in a tough situation than having a good sense of humor. Last one of the tidbits I have here. Thank you, God, for persecution. Thank you, God, for persecution. So, I want to go to 1 Peter. Four through 14. And I have to rush, I guess. Maybe for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind. For He has suffered in the flesh and ceased from sin, that He no longer should live the rest of His time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lavishness, lust, and excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. Speak evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this is the cause. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God and the Spirit. But in the end of all things is at hand. And ye, see, we may be at the end of all things, and there are people that may think that's coming. But my thought is, the rapture isn't here. You know why? Because God told me I'm going to be persecuted, and I haven't been persecuted yet. I'm not so sure the rapture is around the corner. As every man has received the gift, even so the minister to one another, as good stewards, minister to one another wherever you are. If any man speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability of which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when glory shall be revealed, it may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Are you going to glorify God? Have you been persecuted yet? Let us pray. So you'd recommend the book. Let us pray. Or, I guess, if there are not other comments, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you, Father, for the many people that have contributed to my tidbit of knowledge and for the wisdom that you give me through reading your word. And pray, Father, that you be with this congregation, that we would look to in the future doing what you would have us do under the circumstances. And pray, Father, that each and every member here would understand that we are ministers of the gospel. We are asked by your word and your Son, Jesus Christ, to share the gospel message, to share the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that we be obedient servants, that we be seeking your word in everything that we do, and that we seek to glorify in you in everything we do. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Guys, there are hundreds of